Hey, hey, everybody, Kevin here with Pursuing Pixels, and welcome back to another edition of Save It for the Cast. And you know the drill by now. I'm going to be kicking the ball over to John Randall and I in just a little bit here after I rattle off some of the stuff that I've been playing lately. I should say some of the stuff that I've been streaming lately. As far as the stuff that Randall, John and I dig into, John and Randall kind of dig into some dungeon crawler stuff, a little gauntlet action, a little Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, and some of the other Pokemon spinoffs like the Nobunaga's Ambition, I think I'm saying, little Valkyria Chronicles, just a little tactics all over the map. We don't really dig into anything super deep, just kind of rattling off, you know, a bunch of different things or just kind of reminiscing about some games here and there. And then talking through the Punk Cake catalog, which they just most recently added another edition. And I guess that's where I'll start, although I haven't played a ton of this one, but it's called Stray Shot. And I believe this is one of Benjamin Soule's Pico 8 prototypes, or at least maybe it was just a Pico 8 full release. I think they released it kind of as like a quote-unquote demo of this one, although I think they released a proper demo for this game itself. I could be misspeaking there because we're subscribed to their Patreon and just get their games as they release. And they've been kind of, you know, they've gotten off their monthly track, which we talk about a little bit in the episode coming up here, but this is the first, I shouldn't say the first game in a while, because I talked a little bit about Super Eldebra, which was their last one. But yeah, again, they're not quite on that monthly track anymore. But yeah, kind of akin to some of their other like top-down single-screen arcade games like Antecrypt or Ecstatic or Pigments even. But this one's kind of like a top-down twin-stick shooter. And the way this game works, there's no enemies on the screen when you start and you're on a time limit. And then every shot that you fire that you miss like hits the border of the screen or whatever. And this is like kind of like there's some borders and some things on the, you know, UI or heads-up display or whatever on the sides. But otherwise, it's kind of like a, you know, square 4:3 full screen ratio kind of situation. And then every shot that misses then spawns a new enemy in each arena, or each stage like spawns a whole new series of enemies. There might be some overlap between different stages. Like I said at the top, I didn't play a ton of this one just yet, but I really, really am loving this one. This is one of my favorites in a while, though I can't even really say that because, again, we talk about their releases. I think this might mark number 20 for them, not counting a few Game Jam games that they haven't fully fleshed into a release. I don't know if they necessarily plan to do that, like into a commercial proper release or not with a couple of those. But there's even a couple other games that are currently in development. Like, I just cannot wait for what Punk Cake is doing. And I'm glad they kind of shifted their gears a little bit so that they don't feel that pressure of like, okay, we got to crank out a game every single month. I know when they first started, they were like releasing like a secondary version of every game with like a special, you know, color palette and a few different like weapons and stuff like that. Just like different things for every individual game. I think they just did that for like the first like three or four maybe. And then, I'm just so glad that they're just cranking out some really, really awesome stuff. And then, yeah, a couple of the other games that I streamed the other night, or the other day, I should say, because this was actually an earlier in the day afternoon weekend stream. I checked out Use Turbo 2, which the developer was kind enough to send our way. This is the game that I actually closed out the stream with. And I honestly would have just snagged this one in an instant because it was only like $2.99, if I'm not mistaken. And this is a great little, I hesitate to call it a roguelike because it feels more like just a, again, another, I guess, top-down arcade game. But this one is like single arenas, but definitely some scrolling action going on. Something about the game kind of reminds me a little bit of like Choo Choo Rocket, not so much in the gameplay per se, but just the presentation. And it's got like a little bit of like Baba's You vibe. Like, it doesn't have that squiggle vision kind of quality to the pixel art, or I don't even know if it's necessarily pixel art, but it just kind of looks like it's like sketched with like a marker or a crayon a little bit. It's still got like a really sharp visual style, but like it just has like this little slight just kind of sketchy rawness to it or something that I really like a lot. And otherwise, the game is, you know, like the name says, Use Turbo 2. You move kind of slowly if you're not pressing the turbo button. But when I'm playing, I'm pretty much holding it down at all times. And then there's a couple different objectives. And then the reason why I was hesitating to say roguelike is because it's really just procedurally generated stages, but there's not really any upgrades or unlocks or anything like that to the best that I can tell. You can unlock some different ships, but I only unlocked one so far, and it seems to not have any different abilities. Maybe it's maybe there's a slightly different speed that I didn't quite pick up on, but nonetheless, it's just like a really addictive game with, I think there's just three different types of challenges. There's one where you just have to like bust these like red diamond things, which you have to be using the turbo to smash through them. If you touch them without using the turbo, you die. And then there's another one where you have to like trigger these switches, which for that you can be going slowly. And the cool thing about this game, too, is when you're using the turbo, it kind of zooms out a little bit. And then when you stop using it, it kind of zooms in. It can be a little bit disorienting at times. And then you're pretty much just pressing up, down, left, and right aside from the turbo button. And you can quickly press, like if you're going up, you can quickly press down and just quickly do a 180, which I keep kind of forgetting. I keep, you know, kind of thinking more like snake style mechanics where it's like up, down, left, right. Like you can't do a 180 pivot like that. But in this game, you can. And the other challenge is that you pick up like these little envelopes and then drop them off in a mailbox. And when I first downloaded the game, I think they might have patched it since then, because I remember picking up some of the envelopes and like it would only let me drop it off in a specific mailbox. And I was like, man, am I missing like, you know, is there like a little triangle or a little like, you know, indicator or different color that I'm missing or something? But now that I've played it the last few times, it seems like I could just pick them up and drop them off in any mailbox. So I think that might have got patched and just been a little bug at launch, but just a super addictive game. It can get a little bit repetitive, but the enemies are really cool. You always have to like hit them from a certain side. It kind of gets a little bit bullet helly after a while. That's the only other thing that can be a little bit of a bummer is like when you're starting from scratch, if you've made some deep runs, like it can take a little bit of a while to get going, like maybe 10 or 12 stages or so before the difficulty starts picking back up a little bit, but still a really, really, really cool game that I can anticipate playing quite a bit of. And I think I said at the end of the stream, like if this was on Switch, I'd be playing this nonstop, or at least, you know, picking up a quick run or two every time I fire up my Switch. And then the other couple games that I wanted to mention real quick, I quickly played the demo for this game called Momo and the Mine. And by quickly, I mean the demo was about 5 minutes long, which I was a little bit bummed about. This is another game that's only $2.99 full price, and I probably will just snag. It's only on Steam at the moment, to the best of my knowledge, but it's a really great 2D precision platformer with some like 8-bit NES style graphics, and it's just got a really cool, you play as this little mole character, and the main mechanics are that you can like burrow underground, and that also kind of doubles as like your run mechanic because you move a little bit quicker. And then when you're in the air, you can't do a double jump, but you can do by pressing the run button in midair, you kind of do like a dive. I'm trying to like almost like similar to in some of the 3D Mario games, so you can like really kind of weave your way through these really tricky precision platformer stages. Again, that I played the demo, which was, I think, consisted of the first world of the game, and I think there's only four worlds. So again, this game is going to be short and sweet. There are some like hidden matchsticks, or not so much hidden, but tough to collect matchsticks on some of the stages. But again, I ripped through this first world in about 5 minutes, but it just has such a great aesthetic. The music is absolutely incredible. It's one of those games where like when I first saw the description, it said 40 stages. So I was like, oh my God, $2.99. But it's one of those games where I think every screen kind of counts as a stage, and you just have to get to the exit and it just loads the next stage automatically. But I really, again, love the presentation. And then the boss stage at the end of each was way more than a single screen, or at the end of the first world, I should say, which I'm assuming there will be one at the end of each world. This was kind of like akin to some of the Bowser. I always think of that like new Super Mario Brothers Wii Bowser battle where he's like giant and chasing you. And that's how this was. It was like this giant, like glowing worm snake that you were just kind of like running through a pretty long stage. Again, I mean, I beat the whole demo in 5 minutes. So obviously the stage itself was less than that, but maybe like 2 minutes at the most. But I really, really was impressed by this one. And again, like I said, I'm probably going to snag it unless I'm going to do a little digging and just see if it's planning on console release or anything like that. And then the other game I wanted to mention is Froggo's Adventure, Verdant Venture, which is the subtitle. This is an amazing little game, which again, this one I picked up actually as soon as I got home. I saw that it was released. I've been keeping an eye on this developer for quite a long time. They have another game called Froggo Swing and Grapple, which I actually played the demo for right before this. I knew that it was one of those games that recommends playing with mouse and keyboard and you're like grappling all over with your tongue. This is Froggo Swing and Grapple, that is. And I was like, okay, let me see how it plays with a gamepad, which actually I thought it was quite nice. And that game is a $5 game, which I thought it seemed like it was going to be quite expansive. Like there was a really great world map. And then back to Froggo's Adventure, this game, I saw that it was released and it was 99 cents and then had a 20% launch discount at that. So I was like 79 cents. Like I literally just don't care. I'm buying this game. And it's like a very like Kirby's Adventure inspired, but at the same time, it has a lot of like Mario 3 and Mario World inspired mechanics going on, but a ton of its own ideas going on at the same time. This game, you still have like your frog tongue, but you're not able to just freely whip it around like, you know, those mouse and keyboard controls, or even like I was playing with the gamepad. This one, you're able to just kind of launch your tongue out horizontally and then gobble up enemies. You can't swallow, well, you can swallow them, but they don't seem to give you any abilities. It gives you like that little almost like Kirby style sound effect that's like, oh, nothing in there. But you can launch them and they like pinball all over the place and into other enemies. And if they don't hit another enemy, then they'll like eventually like become unstunned and come back to life. And there's like some stages with these bee enemies, and as soon as you agitate one of them or eat some of the honey on the stage by mistake, like they become more aggravated and start like chasing and hunting you down. Like it's just got so many cool elements going on. And again, for a game, it's like I posted this online, but I was like, it's like criminal that a game like this with this much polish. And to be fair, like I thought it was going to have maybe more than this one world, because I was like, man, if there's going to be like three or four worlds to this, like this is nuts. But it seems like I looked at the percentage after I played through most of like what is available on this like opening HUD screen, which again is very, or like HUD world or whatever, I shouldn't call it HUD world, hub world I should say, you know, very reminiscent of Kirby's Adventure, you know, very inspired by that. And it's even got that like double tap to dash and run for the mechanics and stuff like that. But again, very, very much is doing its own thing at the same time. But yeah, I like checked my percentage and I'm already at about 75% with only two stages left or two doors I can see. So maybe there'll be like one more kind of Dr. Wily Meta Knight kind of stage or something at the end. But tons of collectibles, like you, if you get all the coins on a stage, you get like a collectible gem, and then there's either one or two extra hidden gems on each stage, which I've been able to grab most of them so far, but there's some swimming mechanics that are really fun. It just got so much. I almost hope they add more to this game or make a sequel to it, because I am just beyond impressed with this game. Like the polish levels are off the charts. The music is amazing. The pixel art's amazing. Like I just can't get enough of this game. I fired it up a little bit and played a couple more stages before I recorded this here, and yeah, just can't get enough. And again, that Froggo Swing and Grapple from the same developer, I might snag that too, because it was really, really fun. But yeah, I've done enough rambling at this point, so I'll kick things over to John Randall and I for some more video games rambling with the three of us. But yeah, until next week, we'll catch you then, and take care. That map feature is kind of jank sometimes. Even today, I literally just bought that Jetboard Joust game on sale today, and then I went to go post it in our deals page, and I was like, you know what, I'm always lazy. I was like, I'm actually gonna go get the link this time. Mm-hmm. And then I went and get the link, and I literally could not find the Nintendo Switch website page for Jetboard Joust, but I was like, I know I just bought it. So,
oh god.
I was looking up, because when you were talking about co-op games and then moving to dungeon crawling with Diablo, I was like, mm-hmm. Man, I want to play Gauntlet.
Yeah.
And
yes,
Gauntlet Legends, Gauntlet Dark Legacy.
Yes, that's exactly what I was looking for, because those are the ones I wanted to play. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if they're available on Steam or anywhere.
I might own Steam,
maybe. Yeah.
I might own Legends on PS2. I think nice. I only have like three games left on my PS2. Like
Midway.
No, I definitely don't have that game Midway anymore. I know I only own Rumble Racing, and I own some kind of Sylphied shoot 'em up, and then Cookies and Cream. I think those are the only three PS2 games. Or no, because I still have Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence. There's a few other stragglers in there, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not seeing either Gauntlet Dark Legacy or Gauntlet Legends available. Because
those were like in the arcade too.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It was cool to see those around. Yeah,
I was just talking about that, and how much of a sucker I am, because those games in particular, Midway was good at this. You take your fucking physical memory card
from
your console and plug it into an arcade machine.
Blitz did that too. Yep,
which is wild. Yeah, Blitz would let you take your plays, which is awesome. Yep.
Yeah, that is a really cool feature.
Yeah.
Dude, man. Yeah.
And like not as gimmicky. Like I'm not as big of a fan of like, oh, take your memory card and get your Pokemon from GameStop or whatever.
Or like a bonus. Something. Yeah, MacGuffin. No, this is like legitimately is your character or your plays in the arcade.
Like how cool would that be in like a fighting game or something like that? Like let me go upload my character and play it in the arcade. That would be sweet.
Actually. Talk about nice mindless games. Those gauntlet games are that.
Oh yeah, yes. Exactly. That's the thing is like they're a comfort game of just turn my brain off
and 100%
think at
that's
all.
Like a yeah. That's like I'm just gonna get together with some friends and like have some drinks and hang. We're literally hanging out. Like that's the kind of game that we should play, John, when we're hanging with the guys.
Yeah,
trying to hash out a boss fight set list instead of trying to play Overwatch 2 and hash out a set list.
Yes,
I don't know what the landscape of dungeon crawlers outside of like Diablo is.
Yeah, what do you mean? Not a genre that there's been a ton of games for since.
Yeah, and like the ones that are like they're calling Enter the Gungeon and Hades dungeon crawlers, which I guess.
Like in the fact that you're going from room to room or something.
Exactly. Like that's
such
thing.
A stretch.
But that's not, it's not the primary descriptor.
Yeah. Like the thing that I love about Diablo and Gauntlet is that like, it's a level like they've built it. Like they, it has a geography to it.
Yeah,
I'm sure that they're. Oh man, actually, yeah. Here's a call to action for any listeners: come to the Discord. Please tell us of a good dungeon crawler. It's like
I would be very interested in that too, as someone that plays a lot of those.
Something at the level of like Gauntlet, like not as complicated.
Like, I only think of like smaller, like games. Even like it's not a dungeon crawler, but like the Ratch's Den. That's more like from Punk Cake, which is more like what was that old EA game? Like Dungeon Builder, Dungeon
Explorer?
What was that game called? No. You're like, you kind of play as like the demon and you're like trying to like build up your fortress around you. I forget what the game was.
Oops, now I'm getting into the porn dungeon crawlers. That's right. My succubus dungeon. What does this have in store for me?
Oh, brother.
What if it's good? What if it's like the best? Oh man!
I mean, the Gauntlet games did not take themselves seriously.
I think the game was actually just called Dungeon Keeper that I was thinking of, like an old EA game. I don't know. The description of the game calls it a dungeon keeper like dungeon keeping roguelike.
A dungeon keeper like.
No, I was gonna say like roguelike. The Gauntlet. Games were also the design of all the characters was like if they had the balls to make a porn game they would have, but
especially of that that was the late 90s early 2000s sort of time period anyway, so it's leaning into some sexuality of video game characters for teenage boys stuff happening there for sure. As much as you could do with like 5 polygons.
Yeah, I know. It's the box art doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
Seriously, the fact that that people tried to make porn games on Atari, it's like, what are you? Come on.
People's creativity will always win out.
Mm-hmm. Find a way. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Oh, yes.
Man, I was just counting up. I don't know. After I mentioned the Ratchet's Den, I looked up Punk Cake because that was one of the first games that they. I think that it was actually maybe the first game they announced that it was coming to Steam and then it didn't come out for a little while. But they have freaking 17 games out now, man. God damn. And they like slowed their speed that they were planning on. You know, they were going to do a game every month and then they were just kind of like, we'll just release them when we can.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the list. There's not a dud in the bunch.
Yeah. 17 is some output.
Other than I can't wrap my brain around Hexel, the one that I was talking about briefly last time.
Only 17. That looks like there's 21 on Steam.
I counted 17 for Punk Cake.
Yeah,
you got some hidden games that I'm not seeing here.
I don't know.
I only see 17.
Interesting. Maybe they're counting like updates as multiple.
Or, maybe you have like some DL because I think they have done some like Shotgun King DLCs or
right. And same, it looks like. Maybe Algebra. Maybe they're, oh, they're counting Super Algebra maybe multiple times. That's weird.
Huh. I don't know.
I do. I'm going to add, heck, I need to add all these games.
They do have 19 on their wish list. Itch.io page, but it looks like there's a couple that like don't have official like releases yet.
Interesting.
Ooh.
What did you think of Ecstatic?
Oh, that's one of my favorites. That game is so amazing. It's a little bit fun. Oh man, I forgot about this game.
That's what happens when you have
the fuck. They made this one for one of the game jams. It's called Devolved. It says Lloyd is probably the last human on Earth and his brain is totally degenerated as the only brain cell left. Please help him to survive.
No. Let it go at that point.
It looks crazy.
These all look so good. I know, like, every time that you would describe them on the podcast, I was like, oh, I should pick that up.
Yeah.
And I never would.
Yeah.
But
they have
Scavenger of
Turn-based.
Duna Mini.
That game's amazing. Every one that you mentioned, I could pick. That one's my favorite.
I know.
Antecrypt is one of my favorites. Medivax. Damocles Gaze. There's not a bad game that they've ever made. Pigments.
The Ratchet's Den.
Yeah, that one's great. There's only a couple that I'm not like. Furious Farm isn't one of my favorites. Just because it's just not my. I don't know. It's just like a top-down racing kind of thing that, with not a lot of racing going on.
Still stuck on dungeon crawlers, and I wanted to ask John in particular, have you ever played any of those Pokemon Mystery Dungeon games?
Yes,
those I've never really played them.
I played one of them a fair amount. The first one
seems like some people love that
series. Yeah, I think that, yeah, it's, that's a different type of dungeon crawler. Like, it's like a different era of dungeon crawler, man.
Yeah.
Like in a way that reminds me a little bit of Fungus Reaper. Just in terms of combat, but I'm trying to think of like what another, because there are other RPGs or other games that I wouldn't even consider dungeon crawlers that it reminded me of, and I can't really think of them right now.
But the combat's all still action-y. That's not turn-based, right?
Oh, I could not tell you.
Yeah.
I played a lot of it, but like I still think it was kind of turn-based.
Okay.
Where, but like you had to, you know, position yourself and use attacks on like a grid system.
Gotcha.
Man, now I'm just thinking of other Pokemon games. They released a Pokemon version of, what was it? Nobunaga's.
Yeah. Pokemon Conquest.
Pokemon
right?
Conquest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do I know
Forgot
that off
about
the top
that.
Of my head?
Forgot
what
about
is
that.
Wrong
yeah.
With my brain.
It was, that was a fucking good game, man.
I know. It got really good reviews. DS game, right?
Yeah. Pokemon Conquest was so good, but like that was more of just like a traditional tactics. Like,
right.
You got the 3/4 isometric hex or not hex grid system with different elevations and stuff. But then you would use that to catch Pokemon too. Oh, what a.
And then they fight for you on your side.
Yes. But like
that's kind of cool.
I think you would have a Pokemon that would be specifically strong. Oh, man, that's the thing, is like I half remember all of these Pokemon spinoff games and they were all good, but I can't remember a single specific thing other than just me like getting lost in them and having a ton of fun.
I gotta say, that's what a random, because aren't those like Nobunaga games like even back to like the NES era?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Like the fact that those like somehow are even still around in the first place, let alone have a Pokemon crossover game, is kind of crazy.
I mean, that's the thing, is that like all it really made me want, I mean, not enough because I never did, but I was like, oh, I do really want to play the original games that aren't just a Pokemon skin on it. But at the same time, I was like, but I really like having a Pokemon with Oda Nobunaga.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real though.
Oh man. So there was a new Nobunaga's Ambition Awakening was the game that came out in 2022.
What?
Dang, let's go.
Switch?
Still it's, making them.
Ooh, but it is on Steam. Let's see. What does this look like? Ooh, there's no Pokemon in this.
No, it's probably all, yeah.
Like, there's a... Oh, man.
Samurai.
There's a level of tactics games that, like, I just can't get into once they move away from a grid.
Yeah.
Like, I can handle Mario and Rabbids.
Yeah.
I cannot handle XCOM. And, like, Valkyria Chronicles, like, looks like it's just too far from me. And I'm like, oof.
The little bit I only played a little bit of the first Valkyria Chronicles, although I do own 4 physical on Switch.
Nice.
Damn.
I remember it being like that. You never had too many units to juggle, so it didn't get too tedious.
Mm-hmm.
There's just more depth in those units, right? Of like what they can do individually.
Or just like I don't know. I just never felt like, oh man, this is. But I don't know. I never played enough of that game to really be able to say. But
right.
Nobunaga's Ambition was on goddamn Sega Genesis. What in the hell,
dude? It's a weird. Man. It's a weird Wikipedia page.
Whoa.
Romancing the Saga. Reminds me of that series too.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Equally goes back as far, pretty much. Yeah.